أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود. صدق الله العظيم. Today we will continue with the tafsir of the Quran. And the surah that we will be discussing today is Surah Al-Buruj. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sky containing the great stars, and that's why the surah is known as Surah Al-Buruj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والسماء ذات البروج. I swear by the sky, the one having stellar formations. I swear by the sky containing great stars. واليوم الموعود, and by the promised day. By the promised day means the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam, is taking an oath. And as it was mentioned previously as well, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam, takes an oath, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention something very, very important. As the scholars of tafsir explain. So that's the second qasam. The third qasam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes is wa shahidim wa mashhud, and by the one or by that which attends and that which is attended, and by the witness and what is witnessed. Regarding this verse, shahid and mashhud, there are many different opinions from the scholars. One opinion is that shahid is the day of Jumu'ah, that the day of Jumu'ah comes, and Mashhud is that day which is witnessed, and that's referring to the day of Arafah, that on that day everyone gets together on the plains of Arafah. So وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, that which attends, meaning the day of Jumu'ah, وَمَشْهُودٍ, and that which is attended, referring to the day of Jumu'ah, showing the importance. Referring to the day of Arafah, showing the importance of the day of Jumu'ah and the day of Arafah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam by these days. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, another opinion is that shahid is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who is going to testify, the witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in fact, there's a very beautiful incident narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said to him that recite. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that aqra'u alayka wa alayka unzil, that I'm going to recite to you when the Quran was revealed to you. Should I recite? How can I recite to you when the Quran was revealed to you? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, recite. I want to listen. I like to listen from others as well. So that shows that listening to the Quran is also a virtuous act, as long as you can fulfill the rights of the Quran when listening. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا. When the Quran is being recited, then فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ, listen to it attentively. وَأَنْسِتُوا, and remain silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that mercy can descend upon you. So the two conditions are that you have to listen attentively and you have to remain silent. If you can do this, then you listen to the Quran. If you can't do this, then it's better not to listen to the Quran at that moment in time. So he says that I started reciting from the verses of Surah An-Nisa. I was looking down and I was reciting. The Prophet ﷺ was in front of me. When I came to the verse, وَيَوْمَ نَبْعَثُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ وَيَوْمَ نَبْعَثُ فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. That the day when we will send one witness from every nation, and we will send you against these people as a witness. So he says that the Prophet ﷺ told me to stop. And when I looked up, there was ears that were coming down from the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ will be a witness. On the day of Qiyamah, he will give testimony. Ala ha'ula, against his people, against the Quraysh, against the Kuffar, against the Mushrikeen, that these people did not believe. So he is the Shahid, and wa mashhud is the day of Qiyamah. That will be the day of Qiyamah when everyone will get together and everyone will witness that day, and the Anbiya will give testimony. So wa shahidin wa mashhud. There are many other opinions as well. So three things have been mentioned, just to reiterate. Number one is wassama'i dhatil buruj, the heavens or the sky containing great stars. واليوم الموعود, the promised day. وشاهد ومشهود, and by the witness and what is witnessed. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قتل أصحاب الأخدود, the destroyed, cursed were the companions of the trench, the people of the trench. أصحاب الأخدود. And regarding أصحاب الأخدود, many incidents have been mentioned. The most authentic one is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Who are the Ashab al-Ukhdud? A lengthy narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he said that from the people before you, so this incident took place before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Exactly when this incident took place, we don't know the exact details, but we know the details of the incident. Meaning in terms of time, we don't know, but the Prophet ﷺ told us what happened. So what happened, there was this king, and he had a sahir in one narration, magician, and in one narration, a kahin, a fortune teller, who used to work for him. And it's possible that that person was a sahir and a kahin. He was a magician and a fortune teller at the same time. So he grew old and he said to the king that I have grown old now and soon I will leave this world. So from the people, select someone young, a young child, or someone who is young in age, and he should come to me and I will teach him everything I know, so that my knowledge in this field will not be lost, and this child can continue to benefit you and your kingdom. So the king agreed. So they found this child who was intelligent, who was young, who had the potential to carry out this work. And the family agreed as well. So now this child started going to the sahir. One day while she was going to the magician, he met a monk. And the monk taught him about Islam, the true religion, about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about tawheed, about risalat, about qiyamah, about all these articles of faith and tenets of faith. And the young boy, or the youngster, he liked what the monk had to say. So he stayed with him, listened to what he had to say, and went to the sahir to learn the magic and what he was learning there. And on the way back, he sat with the monk again, and then he learned some more things from the monk, and then he went home. So this was his routine, that every day what he used to do is, he used to go from his house to the monk, learn, and then go to the sahir, the magician, and then learn from him, and then come back to the monk, and then learn, and then go home again. Before long, the magician started complaining that you are always coming late. You are always coming late. And the family started complaining as well that you are always coming late when you come back home. So he mentioned this to the monk. So the monk said to him that when the magician asks you that why are you coming late, then tell him that it was my family. And when you go to your family and you get late, then tell him that it was the magician that took very long. And make sure you don't disclose my name. So now what happened after that was that one day this youngster, he departed from his house. He was on his way to the monk and then towards the magician. On the way, he found that the people have been blocked by this animal who is in the way, and the people are scared, and the animal is blocking the way of the people. So he got a stone and he said that today I will find out whether the monk is on the truth or the magician is on the truth. So he said that, O Allah, if the monk is on the truth, then when I throw this stone, resolve the problem of the people. So he threw the stone and the animal went away. The people saw this, that who is this youngster? What words did he say? So people started gaining an interest in this youngster. The youngster went to the magician, and as normal, he went to the monk. When he met to the monk, then he mentioned this incident. And he said to him that this is what happened. So the monk said to him that, I can see that you have now reached a level, meaning you have gained closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have reached a level where it seems like that you are going to be tested very soon. And if you are tested, then make sure you don't reveal my name. So a point to note over here, the closer we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more tests and tribulations that will come in our life. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they're going to be left alone when they say, آمَنَّا, we believe, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and they're not going to be tested? No. That doesn't mean that we ask for tests, we ask for afiyah. We always ask for afiyah. But the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more tests and trials and tribulations will come into your life. And this is also the mafhum and the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, and then he was born. Before he was born, his father passes away. So he is born as an orphan. And then, Islamically, an orphan is that person who doesn't have a father. In English, an orphan would be that person who doesn't have a father and mother. But Islamically, the person who doesn't, that child who doesn't have a father is an orphan. So he is born as an orphan. And then we all know that his mother passes away. And now he doesn't have both parents. And soon after, his grandfather passes away. And then before Nubuwwat comes, and the tests and trials and tribulations that he has to go through, all that he has to go through, and then his uncle Abu Talib passes away, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passes away, so many trials and tribulations in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the other prophets as well. So the more closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will be tested. And that's when the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are distinguished. The ones who pass this test, who understand that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their ranks are elevated on sabr. In fact, this incident that we are going through is mentioned in Babu Sabr by Imam Nawawi in his Riyadh al-Salihin, in the chapter of patience. So what happens? This monk tells him that you are going to be tested soon, because you have reached a level where I can see that you have gained that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point before we move on is sitting in the company of those who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to reach the wilayat and the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly. Those who have a connection, if I want a connection with a certain person, then I go and try and connect with those who have connections with him. Yeah, if I want to meet the Prime Minister, I can't directly go. I have to first make my connections with who? With the ones who have a connection with him, and then my connection with them. Obviously, we have dua and supplication where we directly interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the salah where we are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is there to build our connection. We don't need to go through anyone. I'm saying to make dua or to supplicate, we don't need to go through anyone. But what I'm saying is to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to sit with the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's two different things. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That, O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars explain that وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with those who are the truthful. The scholars of tafsir explain that this is the way, Allah is showing us the way to bring taqwa into our life. How? كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Sit with the truthful people, those who have taqwa, then taqwa will come into our lives as well. Because it's a fact of life that the people that you are staying around with are going to influence you. So he's gained, this youngster, he's gained this level of wilaya. And now he starts helping many people. So he, through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cures the one who is blind, and he starts curing through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those who are lepers and all sorts of illnesses. Through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts treating. He becomes famous within the people. One of the ministers of the king who was blind, one of the advisors of the king who was blind, he finds out that there is this youngster. They don't know that this is the same youngster. But there is this youngster who is curing people. So he brings loads of gifts to him. And he says to him that, look, I'll give you all these gifts if you cure me. So the youngster says that, I can't cure anyone. Only my Lord Allah is the one who gives shifa. So if you want, I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but first you have to accept Iman and Islam, you have to become a believer. So he accepts Islam. And then this youngster makes dua for him and he is cured through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this person, the minister, goes back to the court of the king. And he says, the king says to him that, who cured you? How come you can see all of a sudden? So he said that my Lord cured me. So he said that, do you have a Lord other than me as well? So he said, yes, my Lord is Allah. So the king gets angry now. And he says that, how can you have a lord other than me? I am the one who provides over here. I am the one who gives to everyone. So he orders his people to start torturing him. So they start torturing him and for him to reveal that who did he go to. So he starts torturing him until such a time comes where he can't take it anymore. So he reveals the name, that it's this youngster. So the youngster is called into the court of the king, and the youngster is asked that, did you cure this guy? So he said, no. My Lord Allah cured him. So now the youngster is tortured, and the youngster is told that who is it and what happened, and such a time comes where it's revealed that the monk is involved. So the monk is bought and the monk is killed. The king orders that this youngster should be taken to the top of the mountain and thrown from the mountain. So he dies. So the youngster is taken by the people, the king's people and the soldiers. But what happens is that the soldiers themselves, they slip from the mountain, they fall and they die, and the boy, nothing happens to the boy or the youngster. The youngster comes back, the king finds out, brought to the court again, and this time he is told, it's told to the soldiers that take him on the ship and drown him in the sea. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves him. He's taken, but the people drown and he comes back without a scratch. Again, he's brought to the king. So this time he says to the king that, O king, I will tell you how you can kill me. I will tell you how you can kill me. So the king said, okay, tell me. He said, firstly, gather all the people. Gather all the people. And then shoot an arrow on me. But before you shoot the arrow, say, Bismillah, that in the name of Allah, the Rabb and the Lord of this youngster. So he does that. All the people are gathered. And then the king says, Bismillah, in the Lord, in the name of the Lord of this youngster. And then he shoots the arrow, and then the youngster is killed. All the people hear this. And they all together in unison start saying that Amantu, or Amanna, we have believed. We believe in the Lord of this youngster. So he sacrificed his life. He sacrificed his life so that his whole community and everyone around him could accept Iman and Islam. And sometimes we are only asked to sacrifice 1 hour or 2 hours a day, so that the people of our community can benefit. So all this happens, but now all the people are Muslims. And the king can't take this. So he gives the command to his ministers that dig up ditches and fill these ditches with fire. And then anyone who believes in Allah, throw them into the fire. So each person is bought, and then whoever, they get a choice that, do you believe in Allah or do you believe in the king? And if they say, we believe in Allah, they are thrown into the fire. And hundreds of them are thrown into the fire. And at the end of the narration, and all this, whilst this is happening, the king and his ministers, they are all watching. And at the end of the narration, it's mentioned that one mother is bought and she has a suckling child with her. And the same question is asked to her, that do you believe? In one narration, it's mentioned that she actually had three sons. So the first son was thrown into the fire. The second son was thrown into the fire. The third was this suckling baby. And when the suckling baby, the mother saw this suckling baby, then she had thoughts in her heart that I'm going to say that I don't believe in Allah to save this baby, and this was permissible for her to save her life. So, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ It's mentioned in the Quran. Except for the one who is being compelled, who is being forced, but his heart is content with Iman, that person can say that I don't believe. Meaning, if someone puts a gun on his head and says that if you say I believe in Allah, I'm a Muslim, I'm going to shoot you, in that moment he can verbally say that I don't believe. So in this moment, that woman, she had this thought that I'm going to say that I don't believe. And then I will save myself and my child. But then the child miraculously speaks. And the baby says, that, oh my mother, stay on this path or throw yourself into the fire because you are on the truth. And that she sacrifices her life as well. So this is the end of the narration. The scholars of tafsir mention that Ashabul Ukhdud, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to these people. The king and his ministers and his soldiers. Qutila Ashabul Ukhdud, cursed were the people of the trench. Destroyed, cursed were the companions of the trench. النار ذات الوقود. What sort of trench? Containing the fire, full of fuel. Or some scholars have said that أصحاب الأخدود أصحاب النار. That this نار is linked with أصحاب. So that's why the other translation is the people of the fire that was rich with fuel. إذ هم عليها قعود. When they were sitting by it, when they were sitting near it, they were sitting by this fire. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ And they were watching what they were doing with the believers. They were watching. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ شُهُود, they were watching. So they were witnessing. And like we talked about the beauty of the Qur'an last time as well, if you look at the beginning of the verses, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ Shahid, the witness. وَمَشْهُودٍ And the day of Qiyamah, where everything will be brought forward. And over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٍ That they were witnessing, they were watching. So there is a connection. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ And they punished them for nothing but that they believed in Allah, the Almighty, the worthy of all praise. The only reason that they killed them, the only reason they punished them, tortured them, threw them into pits of fire, was because they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. Nothing else. And there is an indication in this verse as well that when you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be tested. There are going to be trials and tribulations. Alhamdulillah, for us, it's very easy because we were born as Muslims. Our family and everyone is, alhamdulillah, Muslim. People around us are Muslims. But some people, like those who accept Islam, those who are reverts, they go through many trials and tribulations in terms of their family cutting ties with them, the lack of support they have, many, many things that we can go through. But as believers as well, sometimes shaitan deceives us. Shaitan deceives us and deceives the people. It's very important to understand the ways and the deception of shaitan. So what happens is that we are living a normal life, or we have some difficulty in our life, and then because of these difficulties, we think that we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should come to the masjid, we should start praying our salah, we should build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should start reciting the Quran, and we start doing all these things. And after we start doing all these things, what happens? The trials and tribulations increase. So now shaitan comes to us, and shaitan says to us that when you are doing nothing, when you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you had an easy life compared to what you are going through now. That's what shaitan says. And then we start entertaining these thoughts, and then before we know it, we've gone back to our old ways. So that's why it's very important to sit with the scholars, in the company of the scholars, because they can identify the games that shaitan is playing. That's why in one hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that faqihun wahidun ashaddu ala shaitani min alfi abid. One faqih, one person, one scholar who has the understanding of deen, it's more difficult for shaitan to cause him to deviate than 1,000 worshippers. Worshippers are those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but don't have knowledge. Those who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all their life but they don't have knowledge, shaitan can very easily deceive them. And they won't even realize. So, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. This was their only sin, according to them. They punished them. Who is Allah? The Almighty, the Praiseworthy. الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The one to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Allah is a witness over everything. This is something that we have to always remember, that Allah is watching everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness over all things. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. So they were shuhud, they were sitting down and watching, but Allah is always watching. Allah was watching them. Innal ladhina fatanu al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat thumma lam yatubu falahum adhabu jahannam wa lahum adhabu al-hariq. Surely those who persecuted the believing men and the believing women, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا, then they did not repent. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even after persecuting the believing men and the believing women, they still have a chance to repent. And they will be forgiven. But if they did not repent, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ, then for them is the punishment and the torment of Jahannam, and the punishment of burning. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. And then, sorry, one second, it's just... After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always talks about the other side as well. So whenever He talks about punishment, He talks about Jannah as well. He talks about the believers as well, to show that you have a choice. The choice is yours, whether you want to accept the true way, or whether you want to take the wrong path. So إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. Indeed, those who believed that they did righteous deeds, for them are gardens underneath which rivers flow. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. And this is the great attainment. This is the biggest success. The biggest success. If anyone is looking for success, then worry about your akhirah. If you worry about your akhirah, then that's the biggest success. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again reminds us that إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. Indeed, the seizing of your Lord is severe. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes someone with punishment, then that's very, very severe. إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ. Indeed, it is He who originates creation and repeats it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who originates. And He is also His بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدُ. Together with that, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. He is forgiving and loving. He is not only the one who punishes the people, He is also the most forgiving and the most loving. Dhul Arshil Majid, honorable owner of the throne. Fa'alul lima yurid, and He does whatever He wants to do. Fa'alul lima yurid. No one can question Him. La yus'alu amma yaf'al. No one can question Him regarding what He does. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about some other people who were destroyed. هَلَ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. We'll just quickly go through this and then end it inshallah. هَلَ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. Has there reached you the story of the soldiers? هَلَ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. Has the story of the soldiers reached you? Who are those people? فِرْعَوْنَ وَثَمُودِ. Fir'aun and Thamud. Thamud were the people of صالح عليه السلام. بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب. But they who disbelieve are in persistent denial. They are in denial. The ones who disbelieve, they are in denial. They deny all these things that happened. والله من ورائهم محيط. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى encompasses them from behind. Allah سبحانه وتعالى envelopes them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully covers them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about them. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ. But this is an honored Qur'an. The glorious Qur'an. فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. Inscribed in a preserved slate. In لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. So, we don't have time to go through every single verse in detail. But inshallah, this much should benefit us. And if anyone wants to read that incident, that story again in detail, then they can find it in Riyazu Salihin, Gardens of Paradise in English, in the chapter of Sabr, in the chapter of Patience. Inshallah. Jazakallah. Subhanallah.